This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Thursday, March 20th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart today. Well, the Boston Celtics are being sold for a staggering amount of money to an ownership group led by a private equity executive. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, pending home sales surged nationally last month despite high mortgage rates. Joining us to discuss the housing market and take a look at what's happening locally, Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group right here in Chicago. Drew, thanks so much for your time today. Let's begin here. Sales, well, they surge nationally, but how about here in Chicago? What's it looking like?
Yep, thanks for having me here again, Judson. Sales here in the Chicagoland area have been also on the rise a little bit. I mean, I think this is too because we're seeing some of the inventory increase as the weather has been kind of breaking for us and we start entering that home or that season of, you know, home sales and things with that spring market.
So how have the higher mortgage rates played into all of this?
Interestingly, that, you know, the fact that the rates have gone up recently, we got to take into effect that the effects that we're seeing now are probably due to December and January mortgage applications and things when the rates there were at, you know, the 7 and, you know, maybe close to 7 rate. Now the rates have decreased a little bit and now we're starting to see some of the refinances. So the fact that the increase has happened with the interest rates being higher. People, I think, are starting to just, you know, get really, you know, out there to start seeing some things. The inventory has increased. So people are starting to kind of make some moves based on this pent up demand.
We're talking real estate with Drew Wishover from the Inspired Title Group. Drew, for those waiting on the mortgage rates to change, should they be or should they not necessarily because they may not be changing?
Right. There's the million-dollar question, and I think we get this question constantly. Right now, it's just so hard to say because it still is a seller's market, and the early signs are telling us that it's going to become more balanced, and when it does become more balanced, that means that there's going to be an inventory increase out there, and that means that the home prices will kind of level off. They're not going to continue to increase like they are. So I think if you're in a market where you've got to move and you've got to make a decision, you know, of course, doing it now is of course, great. But realistically, waiting it out to say, hey, interest rates are going to drop, There's no telltale sign that's definitively going to direct us that way right now.
So we're discussing the sales surging nationally on homes. What does this all mean for local sellers?
Yeah, the local sellers, you know, I think that they can still see the opportunities to, you know, being that it is a seller's market, to still get that increased dollar for their price for their homes. I think that there's going to be the interest rates will come down a little bit and hopefully help this whole, you know, energy that is all pent up, because right now I think the economic climate is just telling us that we're kind of holding on to see where things are going to go. There's a lot of things going on around us with the economic uncertainty. So jobs are going to increase. So there's going to be that reason for people to move into the marketplace to start to, you know, infiltrate the housing market.
Drew, thank you so much for the insight today. That's Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group, located right here in Chicago. Hey, coming up, an NBA team is being sold for more than $6 billion. We will unpack that shortly.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the Boston Celtics are being sold for more than $6 billion. The current owners bought the team for $360 million just over 20 years ago. That's a pretty decent return on investment. We welcome to the show Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertere Group right here in Chicago. Tim, thanks so much for your time today. You know, if I could have gone back in time, I would have just bought the Celtics for $360 million because that's a pretty good return on investment, $6 billion plus dollars. What did you make of what the Celtics ultimately sold for?
Well, look, Jensen, the time value of money certainly plays right into this. So, it's the inflation of the sheer amount of it. But still, it's a stunning return, as you're saying. And it's largely because a lot has happened in the realm of pro sports, not necessarily just the NBA, over the last number of years, where the acceleration of the valuations of these franchises has literally skyrocketed. And there are a bunch of different factors for that, but this is by far the biggest example of that. And it's especially interesting because in the case of the Celtics, which is a legendary franchise, obviously coming off of an NBA championship, you could make the argument that they are selling at the top. It's interesting because a lot of these other deals that have been going on over the last number of years, NFL, NBA franchises, the Celtics actually don't even own their own arena. And a lot of the valuation of these sales over the last couple of years have been reflective of the fact that a lot of these situations are not just the teams and the infrastructure behind them, but the actual arenas or the places in which they play, the ownership of that as well. And this doesn't include that in this case. So it's really interesting to see that not only are they being sold for the highest price ever for a sports franchise, but it does not include the actual arena where a lot of revenues are derived from going forward. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out in the next couple of years.
Tim, the NBA just signed a new media deal, 11 years, $76 billion. How much did that have a hand in it and what had just been done? And what are a couple of the other key factors that led to the Celtics selling for over $6 billion?
This is another thought that perhaps this is sort of near the top of things, because indeed that media deal, I think in a lot of media circles, a lot of people kind of look at that and go, maybe that may be the last of the big deals that get done, given the radical change that's going on with television and streaming and that. So Disney and NBC Universal and Amazon coughed up $76 billion, and the NBA has been one of the better leagues in terms of its apportionment of that media revenue. Now, that's a 10, 11-year deal, and that's a pretty good cushion. So from an investment perspective, that feels like a safety valve. It's a less risk. But the reality is in 11 years, I would argue even in just a handful of years, the media landscape is going to dramatically change. It'll be interesting to see how these three companies can make money off of that kind of investment on the media side. But for now, it's certainly elevating the valuation of a team like this, and good for the sellers, for sure. We'll see if the buyers indeed benefit.
Tim, there's a very interesting story back with how Jerry Buss ended up purchasing the Lakers. He was short on cash, and he borrowed money from Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling was so jealous of Jerry Buss's fun with the Lakers that that's why he ended up buying the Clippers. How much of this is just kind of, I don't know if I would call it an emotional play, but rich guys want to do things like own sports teams?
It's a great history grab there, Judson. And the reality is it's always been that way, right? So it's just that the zeros behind these entities, these guys generally, has gotten larger and frankly buoyed by private equity investment now, which is a new element in this investment. So it, gone are the days where it's just a solo investor like those two guys.
Right.
Now it's a whole consortium of private equity, but same dynamic. It's a vanity play for sure, just on a bigger scale.
Yeah, much bigger. Tim, thanks so much. I'd venture to guess next one of that vanity scale could be Jeff Bezos of Amazon owning perhaps an NFL team or whatever else he wants. That's Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertair Group, based right here in Chicago. Up next, the March Madness boost to bars.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the NCAA tournament is big for advertisers, players, and TV ratings, but it's also a major boost for Chicago's bar industry. Let's discuss that impact now. Angela Zois, spokeswoman for Bottleneck Management Restaurant Group, owner of Sweetwater Tavern, located at 225 North Michigan Avenue, right here in Chicago. Angela, thanks so much for your time today. Let's begin here. How big of a deal is the tournament for a downtown bar like Sweetwater Tavern?
Yeah, it's a really big deal. We have a ton of fun with it. Last year, first day of the tournament, this Thursday, saw about a 20% increase in sales as compared to the previous six Thursdays. So, you know, Chicago's coming alive, not just with the tournament, but, we just got off of St. Pat's and families on spring break, and we love this time of year.
Yeah, I can imagine. I was downtown. I certainly saw what was happening, and everyone was thriving. It felt like, you know, from early morning to late at night. So Sweetwater offering a host of drinks, menu items. How do you draw a buzz? You know, how do you stand out to make yourself unique to make sure that if our people are going out, they're choosing you?
Yeah. Great question. We kind of thrive on sports in general. It's part of the setup of our restaurant. So we're kind of great restaurant meets ultimate sports bar. We're like a marriage of the two. So fortunately, we're set up with the big HD TV screens, community tables. It's kind of the ideal spot for March Madness to begin with. But what we like to do is we layer on just some goofy kind of fun food and beverage specials. So we created our spin on a boozy orange crush. We called it the Final Four-inge. So we get, we get a little goofy. And that's, we put a little basketball toothpick in there. And then we have loaded fries that we call Starch Madness. So that's house fries with pimento cheese gravy and brisket and cheese curds. So just a little bit, extra something to the menu.
So it can't all be gravy. What are the challenges, biggest challenges on a day like today?
You know, I think just managing the flow of the restaurant. Fortunately, we've been there since 2009, so we're kind of a well-oiled machine at this point. But of course, when you have people walking in from, maybe they're in town for a convention, maybe they're a local family on spring break, just kind of managing that host stand and the flow of the restaurant. But we, like I said, we've been doing this for quite a while. So I think that's one of our strengths.
Angela, finally, what trends are emerging and how bars enhance the March Madness viewing experience happening right now?
Trends emerging. You know, one of the things we like to do is we like to give kind of like a seating map of the restaurant. So when somebody walks in, if we're going to have one of their games on, the TV on the south side, we try to make it as easy as possible for people to sit, where they want to watch their game. So that's one of the things we do. And then, in terms of trends, I think it's really just capitalizing on what can you bring to your menu that's not already there. So how can you get creative? And like you said, how can you kind of stand out from the people who are, just throwing the game on as it is?
Angela, great stuff. Great success over the next few days and on through the Sweet 16 and beyond as we make our way through March Madness. That's Angela Zois, spokeswoman for Bottleneck Management Restaurant Group, owner of Sweetwater Tavern right here in Chicago.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
12:30 on your Thursday. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening. I'm Jensen Richards in for Rob Hart today. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A man is dead after being shot by police answering a domestic-related call on Chicago's South Side. President Trump takes another step towards shutting down the U.S. Education Department and Technology Thursday. The head of a leading AI company shares his timetable for the wider-scale use of humanoid robots. And McDonald's is part of a promotion tied to the new Minecraft. Take a look out outside, 37 degrees, partly sunny skies at 12:31 now. Well, a man has died after being shot by Chicago police on the far south side this morning. Officers responded just after 7 to a domestic-related call of a male with a gun on the 900 block of East 100th Street. A female was able to get out of a bedroom as they arrived. Police said the man then pointed a weapon at officers, prompting a CPD member to open fire. The man was hit and taken to the hospital, where he later died. President Trump's latest executive order is intended to further closing of the U.S. Department of Education. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt.
This president is finally taking much needed action to return education to where it belongs, and that's to educators closest to students in their classrooms in their respective states.
The Trump administration says critical functions of the department, like administering student loans, will not be affected by today's order. Mentioned we would take a look in the market. The Dow is up just over 1. S&P up about 30%. The NASDAQ up 40%. It's 12:31.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, stocks are trading mixed. Joining us with the latest on What's Up with Wall Street, Brian Dietrich, Chief Marketing Strategist of the Carson Group there in Omaha, joining us now. Brian, thanks so much for your time today. It's been a seesaw day for stocks. What's your takeaway from what we've seen?
Well, it has. And first off, thanks for having me back. And happy March Madness, everybody. Some good games going on as we're speaking here. You know, it's kind of the hangover day, if you will, right? We had the Fed meeting yesterday. I know you guys have probably talked about that. So we had some volatility, had some upside, honestly. It was nice. You know, the market kind of took what the Federal Reserve had to say positively and had a strong reaction yesterday with upside. And then today, you're giving up a little bit. Like, so we're kind of bouncing around near flat, down a little bit the time we're speaking here. But honestly, today's, again, just kind of a hangover day. A lot of people watching basketball after the Fed. It's just kind of low volume. Not a lot going on, to be honest.
So stocks have been under pressure as of late. Do you see that continuing?
Well, they have been. You know, we were recently in a market correction, right? That's down 10%. That happened a week ago today. But honestly, since last Friday, we've had a pretty good bounce. I mean, we'll see where we go. Famous last words, stocks are probably going to be up this week. Now, they've also had a rough go of things, you know, really for the past month or so. But to answer the specific question, we think so. We think it's going to be a little bit better, right? We had the 10% peak-to-trough correction. We've got some choppiness. You know, we got the better news out of the Fed out of the way. We get it. The tariff concerns and the uncertainty continues. We're seeing still some positive news on the inflation front. So all in all, historically, you tend to get a major low around the middle of March. Now, that's never perfect. You never invest just on seasonality. But we think we had another pretty significant low in March, and we do think better times are coming.
It is Ryan Dietrich who's joining us now, Chief Market Strategist of the Carson Group. So, Ryan, what's been the biggest threat, or what is the biggest threat to financial markets right now and moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's that word uncertainty, right? Markets can rally on good news. They could even rally on bad news. 5 years ago right now, markets did rally on the face of some of the worst headlines our country's ever seen when we shut down the economy with a 100-year pandemic. But it's the uncertainty factor or swirling around tariffs. I mean, this is nothing new. This isn't anything no one else probably isn't saying. But it was, as long as we have these tweets that come out and there's rumors, this and that, we just need some clarity, okay? April 2nd, which ironically the day after April Fool's Day, April 2nd is when there's all these tariffs are supposed to really go into play. And I'll just say, I'm a glass half full type of person. I know that the stuff is out there. Today we got some sort of good news out of Europe saying they were going to postpone the retaliation tariffs. They were planning on doing it until after April 2nd. So maybe calmer heads can prevail and find some common ground on some of these differences we clearly have as it pertains to tariffs. And that would really help, clearly, the market with less uncertainty on the tariffs front.
Ryan, even with all the uncertainty, are there any areas of the market that you like right now?
Yeah, there are. I mean, listen, we don't think there's going to be a recession, right? Maybe you could say growth has slowed down a little bit the first quarter, but overall, the consumer is still solid, the labor market is still solid, earnings are at record highs. So we specifically like areas like industrials and financials. Those still look really nice as we don't see a recession. You know, even around the globe, I know we're running out of time real quickly. Around the globe, U.S. is down, yes, but Europe is up significantly. Emerging markets having a really good year. China's doing okay. So just keep a diversified portfolio. Stick with U.S., yes, but have some other parts of the world because, honestly, they're doing really well, even though we're not doing that great. That's why you stick diversified.
Ryan, finally, what's your advice for investors looking for yield and dividend stocks on your radar?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good one there. We do like low vol stocks, so that's kind of those areas that pay a little higher dividends. You know, with the high growth names that have really struggled, specifically the Mag 7, what's done really well in the face of technology and underperforming in the U.S. is some of those kind of more slow and boring names that pay nice, solid dividends. That's why I kind of do like, I said, financials, they pay some of those. Utilities, healthcare, staples, parts of healthcare, I should say, staples all pay a nice dividend. So for someone who has a diversified portfolio, have some high flyers if you want. Just know they can kind of crash and burn, like we've seen a lot of times. That's why you stick with some of the tried and true safe ones that pay nice dividends along the way.
Ryan, thanks so much for your expertise today. That's Ryan Dietrich, Chief Marketing Strategist there with the Carson Group in Omaha. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, humanoid robots will soon have a greater role in everyday life.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, it is Technology Thursday. A leading tech CEO predicts the humanoid robot revolution is arriving sooner than expected and is set to transform our daily lives in just a few short years. Joining us to discuss, Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show there in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thanks so much for your time today. Let's begin here. How soon will humanoid robots become mainstream?
Yesterday. in other words, I think Mr. Huang at NVIDIA is correct, obviously. I mean, look, he's tied into some data that I certainly am not. But what I have seen, I've worked a long time, for example, with Amazon and among many other large companies. And those guys now these are not humanoid robots. Let's be clear. Humanoid obviously being a human-ish shape. But 750,000 robots are currently deployed across Amazon's fulfillment centers worldwide. That's up from 10,000 in 2013. So, and the point I'm trying to make is not, again, that those are humanoid. They are not, most of them. But what they are doing, those robots, is doing exactly what they were intended, namely doing tasks, especially physical ones, which human beings could do as well, but would get injured doing and so forth, repetitive stress injuries and so forth. So the point is that robots are replacing human behavior and human activity in places that humans were just getting hurt. What Jensen Huang's talking about from NVIDIA is that these robots are going to start looking like human beings. Now, why that is a big distinction is because of how most people feel when they see a humanoid robot. It's going to take more adjustment. The reason they haven't come more quickly is because people are trying to make them less scary. And so that's really, in the end, the biggest difference is these things look like human beings walking around.
Do we blame the movie I, Robot?
You could blame a lot of people, but here's the thing. And honestly, Huang is predicting that the going rate for renting one of these human robots is going to be about $100,000 a year. And while that sounds maybe like a lot, imagine somebody who is probably of means needing a human assistant to do certain things around the home or in certain businesses where there's going to be, you know, having the benefit of a human looking robot and then a box walking up to you. Put things in perspective. On the QuickBooks/Intuit campus right now in California are hundreds and hundreds of little robots running around, while rolling around, I should say, delivering packages. So again, the reason I answered, well, yesterday is when this is happening, is because robots have already become part of our professional and personal lives. They just don't look like humans, and that's the big change.
We're discussing humanoid robots with Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media. So what industries could see the biggest impact from these robots, Paul?
Again, that's a great question, and I can't predict any better than Mr. Hein can, although he's got, like I said, he's got the data. But the industries right now that you could imagine are going to benefit are basically tourism, interaction with human being industries, where, you know, hotels, where if you walk in and instead of looking at a blank screen, that is in many cases how you check into sort of mid-level hotels these days, you might be greeted by a human-looking robot who actually speaks with you, answers questions. Remember, this is really important. It's not just a pile of metal. AI is going to power most of these. Therefore, AI, just as it responds to you when you put in a prompt in a prompt box with ChatGPT, now these robots powered by the same, and Amazon's doing the same thing as NVIDIA's, AI is going to let that robot speak to you. So any place where, so the tourism industry for certain, hospitality and so on, I can definitely predict those will be early.
You know, Paul, with the cost of eggs and inflation with a grocery store run, it doesn't seem like great timing for potentially some jobs to be going away. Technical, ethical, economic, what are we looking at from that aspect?
Sure. It's a great question. In other words, you're going to be asking the same question of any machine that replaces a human being. And that question has been asked since the horse and buggy was replaced with the automobile. So it's not a bad question, and it's a massively impactful question when it comes to how many jobs are going to get lost here. But I think, I'm not suggesting there's a sort of a quid pro quo here where the rise of one robot equals the rise of a new kind of job. I wouldn't say that. But there will be new kinds of jobs to program this robot, to service this robot, and so forth. So just as you have an HVAC employee come over to a hotel to fix the boiler or fix the air conditioning, it is not unlikely if you're going to have a bunch of these robots, you're going to have people servicing them. So again, will they replace human beings and jobs? Sure. Will it be one-for-one trade? I don't know. But it will be the fact that there will be new jobs springing from these humanoid robots.
Paul, who knows what is around the corner and what lies ahead in the future. Fascinating stuff there. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor from the Today Show. Hey, join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, a new partnership pairs McDonald's with Minecraft. Chicago-based McDonald's is tapping into Minecraft mania with promotional ties to the new movie from the popular gaming franchise. We welcome that is Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital, right here in Chicago. Matt, thanks for joining us today. Let's begin here. McDonald's has excelled at capitalizing on trends like this before. Help us understand why this works so well for them.
It's been great. And actually, people don't realize 40% of McDonald's sales are digital, which actually is better than Starbucks. So now a blockbuster high-end promotion with Minecraft, which is Microsoft's, you know, blockbuster franchise that they have, and kind of like a feel-good story for turbulent markets. So there's going to be a Happy Meal for kids and kind of like an adult Happy Meal, both with collector toy sets. And McDonald's has done an amazing job driving these kind of mega promotions, tie-ins for all their like core strengths, and why the stock has honestly done pretty well and has been a great defensive play so far this year.
Yeah, are they able to double dip a little bit in the gamer world and then the fast food fan world?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, highly anticipated movie. I mean, all parents are going to be bringing their kids, and also is going to appeal to adults as well. We'll see how the movie lands, of course. But, you know, the value meal strategy for McDonald's has been excellent. The $5 meal. So this ties in with that. It seems to have gotten great reviews. And, you know, McDonald's seems to be doing all the right things to kind of keep that incentive to keep on shopping and keep on eating there.
Matt, thanks so much. Actually, one more for you. What does this all mean for McDonald's stock, and could you make a recommendation there?
Well, it is a little expensive, 26 PE, in a bit of a trading range. Definitely a buy below 300, a little bit of a trim above 315 or 320.
Matt, always great stuff there. That's Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital. Hey, you'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and, of course, on the Odyssey app.